What a wonderful way to just worship the Lord. And thank you again to our praise team who is doing this and putting this together. And we learn week by week. Please bow your heads in prayer with me. Father God, thank you that in these moments we can come before that throne of grace again. That place, Lord, where you just overwhelm us with your love and with your care and with the promise that you are our God and we are your children. And that we have so many reasons, Lord, to thank you and to bless you, because we cannot count all the blessings that you give. Amazing God, our Father in Jesus. Thank you that even in these difficult times, you walk with us. Thank you that especially in this difficult time, you don't just walk with us, but you pick us up and you carry us when we feel that it's just a little too much. You have a wonderful word for us again this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you are going to bless us with your word. Speak into our lives and help us, Lord, as you speak these words to go live these words. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in the series, Falling into Grace. This is the third one in the series. Falling into grace means to let go and just fall into God's hands. So this morning, I'd like to start by telling you two stories that I read, written by a man called Max Lucado. And they're both stories of the effects of disbelief, doubt. First story, very short. So the story is about this woman who had never flown because she's way too scared to fly in a plane. But then the day came that she needed to get on a plane and fly. She got on the plane, landed at the other end. Her friend said to her, "So how did you enjoy the flight?" She said, "Enjoy the flight. I stood the whole time." First story. Second story, a little more sad than this even. It's a story about a prince who fell in love with a beautiful young woman, but she was a commoner. And he loved her with all his heart, but she felt that couldn't be true. He couldn't love her. She wasn't beautiful enough. She wasn't wealthy enough. She wasn't part of royalty. How could he love her? And he told her, "But I really, really love you." At some stage, he came to her and he said, "I would like to marry you." And she said, but how can you want to marry me?" He said, "But I love you." She says, "Okay, I'll marry you, but I'll cook for you and I'll work for you and I'll sew for you and I'll do everything for you." And he says, "I don't want you to do anything like that. I just want to marry you because I love you." So they got married, and she cooked for him and she worked for him and she washed the dishes and she did the laundry. And then she left him. And then a friend asked, so why did you leave him?" She says, "Because I think he doesn't love me anymore." Two such sad stories about the effects of doubt and disbelief. This first woman couldn't enjoy an amazing flight because she didn't trust the pilot or the plane. This poor second woman lost the love of her life because she wanted to earn the love that he wanted to give to her so freely. And that, my friends, is the sad reality of doubt and disbelief. It robs us of this amazing gift called God's grace. Because remember what we said, we can fall into God's grace if we just let go. But if we hold on to all these things, we never fall and we miss out because of our doubt and despair. Let go and fall into God's grace, into the palms of God's grace. So against this backdrop, I would like to take you to our scripture reading this morning. And that comes from John chapter 6 verses 25 to 29. And as I said before, it's coming from the NIV. Let me give you a little backstory to this before I read. This is just after Jesus had fed the 5,000 on the mountain with bread and fish. Then he left them. He went across the Sea of Galilee to another part of that area. These people followed him. And this is where we pick up the story, verse 25. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you." In other words, listen carefully to what I'm saying to you. You're looking for me, not because you saw the signs or the miracles that I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." It's interesting when you look at this passage that it seems that Jesus reduces the struggles of life and living life to two things: food that spoils and food that lasts. Now, of course, we know these are metaphors that Jesus is using here, right? Word pictures. When he speaks of the food that spoils, it's very easy to see what he means with that if you just read the verse that comes right before that. He says, "You're not looking for me because you want me to be part of your life. You're not looking for me because you want to be saved. You're not looking for me because you want to give your life to me so that you can live in me. The only reason that you guys are looking for me is because I fed you on that mountain. You had bread to eat. You had fish to eat. That's the only reason you're running after me. You're looking for a free meal." In other words, what Jesus is saying, you are just looking and running after temporary things. Here's the problem with temporary things. You never get enough. You got fame, you want more fame. You got awards, you want more awards. You got a following on social media, you want a bigger following in social media. The problem with that is you're always running after that, trying to get more and more. And all it does to you, it makes you tired and it spoils because it's never good enough. Don't work for that, says Jesus. But rather work for the food that lasts. And again, very easy to see what that is, because just after that, Jesus says, work for the food that endures. And then it says, to eternal life. Food that lasts has to do with my eternal life. Being with Christ, being in Christ, living with Christ, being part of God's people that will join God in heaven and join those millions and millions of angels singing to the glory and the honor of God. But there's a big difference between the food that spoils and the food that lasts. You see, you cannot buy or earn the food that lasts. It's a gift. It's free. It's called grace. That's why Jesus says in verse 27, "The Son of Man will give you this gift." Do you get it? You just have to believe. And Jesus will give this gracious gift freely. You don't earn it. You don't get it. You don't buy it. You fall into God's grace freely. Jesus gives the gift. And all I need to do, remember those two stories, I need to believe and not doubt or disbelieve. They had a problem with that. So what do? They ask the question, verse 28. So what must we, and listen to those, what must we do to do the works that God wants us to do? To hear all those do's. That's the question of disbelief. Jesus just said to them, the food that lasts is a gift that Jesus gives freely. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. How many times must I say that? all you can do with that gift is to receive that gift. When I try to earn it, I'm not taking God at His word. And what else is that but disbelief? And can you imagine how that makes God feel? I'm going to give you an example. So my birthday was the 2nd of April. So let's say you bring me a gift. I open this gift. And wow, you bought me the most beautiful pair of cufflinks because you know I like to wear cufflinks. And I look at you and I say, wow, thank you for this beautiful gift. What do I owe you? And you're saying, Aubrey, it's a gift for your birthday. Oh, no, but it's such a beautiful gift. I have to pay you something for this. I can't just take this. What can I give you? And you say, Aubrey, it's a gift. What can I do in return for this? Can you imagine how that will make you feel? Imagine how God feels when God says, my grace is a gift. You can't earn it. Just fall into it and receive it. So Jesus gives them an answer. He says, okay, I'll tell you what God wants. Did you hear that? He says, let me tell you what God wants. The work of God is this. And I can see them pitching up saying, okay, I'm going to hear exactly what I need to do. Maybe he's going to say, I need to pray more. I need to study scripture more. I need to give more. I need to study the word of God more. I need to do all of these works to deserve what God gives. But you see, my friends, that's what Satan wants. Because Satan does not want us to receive God's grace freely. Satan wants us to think that we need to deserve something. We need to do something. We need to earn something. And so he lets us ask all these questions. God, can you really love me as I am? Really? Does grace really work that way? I'm so horrible. What must I do? God, I've sinned so badly. What must I do to get rid of those sins? God, look at my life. Can it really be? Because he wants us to think that we can achieve something and earn it, but we can't. Look at what Jesus says after that. He says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sends. That's it. To believe, to allow Jesus to come into your life. To allow Jesus, when he's come into your life, to do what God has sent him to do, to bring God's grace, to wash you, to cleanse you, to make you new, to stand before God for you, so you don't have to try and earn anything from God. That's it. Believe. It's as simple as that. And someone says, whoa, hold on a little bit. What about good works? Isn't that what James says in James chapter 2? Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by works. You're right. What about a good character? Isn't that what Paul speaks about? Romans 6, Ephesians chapter 4, this good character that I should have? You're right. Here's the problem. We have neither. Forgive me if I'm blunt. Forgive me if I offend you. I don't mean to, because it's all about me. It starts with me always. I can do as many good works as I want. I can be the most amazing person and care for people as much as I want. It can never earn me salvation with God. Forgive me if I offend you. You might have the most amazing character. You might be the most amazing person that walks on 2 feet. That will never earn you salvation with God. It's food that spoils. So what does God want? It's easy. Believe. Trust God when God says, I love you freely. I save you freely. Accept the gift of Jesus Christ on the cross. for you. Accept the fact that God's goodness and God's mercy will follow you all the days of your life freely because of God's grace. Forget about your own works. Stand on the works of Jesus Christ, His Son. Don't come to Him in your name. Come to Him in His name. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. Because it's called grace. Is it that easy? Well, here's the thing. It's never easy. The cross that Jesus had to bear, there was nothing easy on that. The blood that Jesus bled was real blood. That's the blood that washes me. That's the blood that cleanses me. That's the blood that opens God's grace to me. The pain that Jesus took was your pain and my pain, so that we don't have to carry that pain and that burden. The price that Jesus paid was tremendous. And if you and I had to try and pay for all of this and earn this, it would have bankrupted us and it still wouldn't be enough. So is it simple? You can call it simple. Is it free? Yes, it is. Is it easy? Don't call it easy. Call it what it really is. Call it grace. Pray with me. Father God, this morning we heard your gift of grace again, and we thank you for that. Thank you that we may come to you in the name of Jesus and pray for all those names that we mentioned in the beginning who are going through really, really difficult times. Thank you that you are with each one of them, that you love them, that you care for them, that you hold them. Thank you that your grace is free. Thank you that your grace lifts us up. Thank you that despite all the things that keep us away, we can still be together in this way. You are an amazing God. And we love you, Lord. And now in a few moments, we're going to worship again, and we thank you that we may do that. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. So worship with us again as we sing this last song, and stay with us for the benediction at the end.